The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Civic Season with Andy Masick. Andy's the president, the CEO of Senator John Hines History Center in the Strip District. He's a regular guest on our show because Andy always presents what's new and exciting at the History Center. Hey, Andy. How are you?
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Really good. Always good to hear your voice, Andy. And this is a fun thing. So Civic Season, a goal to help Americans, especially young people, understand why we celebrate. So whose idea was this and who's on this train with you?
Well, you know, we've been working with the Smithsonian Institution and more than 100 museums across the nation to sort of bring history and civics to the forefront, especially for the younger generations, the Gen Z, those 3 to 23-year-olds, and millennials, because we feel like every American needs to know the basics of American history so we can make good decisions in the present and plans for the future.
Excellent. So, of course, Andy, you're well aware this is a very contentious time in American history.
Are you sure?
And I believe...
Yeah, well, we hadn't noticed.
Well, I just wanted to bring it to your attention just in case it had passed you by. But look, Andy, it's things are really out of control. There's a lot of anger and there's a lot of misinformation about America, its history, and its values. So this is good, this civic season. This is, in many ways, the truth, and you're allowing the public to be educated. But you're doing as you know, this well in a winsome way, too.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to make it fun. We're trying to engage people where they are. And a lot of that means that it's online. We've got to reach out to people. And the Civic Season has things like Citizen U app. You know, you can download a free app and you can learn about what it means to be an American citizen. And speaking of that, you know, new citizens to the United States have to take a test. There are 100 questions on that test about history and civics, and those new citizens are expected to be able to pass that test. Well, there have been some studies that show 4 out of 10 Americans could not pass the citizenship test. And that's a little unsettling to me because, you know, we take our citizenship seriously, most Americans do, and if we're not prepared to make good decisions and understand, you know, the roots of some of the issues that are facing us today, then, you know, we're not going to be making good decisions. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we've done is we've created an exhibit called American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith. And we did this with the Smithsonian, and we brought objects from the Smithsonian, including George Washington's lap desk and documents signed by Benjamin Franklin, and things that are the actual artifacts, the stuff of history that connect us to that founding generation. Oh. And at the end of the exhibit, we let people take the citizenship test, and, well, see how they do.
Let's see if they've improved.
You know, most people really know the answers to these questions. They're not that hard. There are things like, what is the capital of the United States? You know, it's Washington, D.C., right?
Yes.
People not knowing that, Andy?
The flag? Yeah, there are people who don't know that.
Okay.
What about why does the United States flag have 13 stripes and 50 stars?
Yes, the original colonies and the number of states in the Union.
That's right. 13 original colonies became the 13 original states after we fought a revolution against King George and separated from Great Britain. And today we have 50 states. But over the years, you know, we started with 13 states, then we got up to 15 states during the War of 1812. And, you know, in those early days, they started adding a stripe for every state that was added. They added a star and a stripe. And the American flag started looking like a pinstripe flag. So we said, wait a second, let's go back to the original 13 states or colonies for the stripes, but we'll add those stars because they're easy to add and we can keep making them smaller.
Very nice.
Up there in the blue.
That was a good idea design-wise, I think, Andy.
I think that was a good call.
Yeah.
You know, we just recognized Juneteenth, June 19th.
Yeah.
Which was the day that people in Texas found out that Abraham Lincoln and U.S. Congress had created an Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves in the rebelling southern states. Well, that's part of this civic season, too. It's not just about the 4th of July. Everyone knows about the 4th of July when the Declaration of Independence was voted on by all of the founders. But there are other things that happened in June and July that Americans ought to know about. Well, do you know what happened at Gettysburg in 1863?
Tell us.
The Gettysburg Address.
The Gettysburg Address followed the Battle of Gettysburg, which was the turning point of the American Civil War. And that happened on July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863. And, you know, when Abraham Lincoln came to Gettysburg after the battle and gave the most famous speech in American history, the Gettysburg Address, he said, you know, this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And you know what? That was a big idea from his father's generation. And he started out his speech by saying, 87 years ago, 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. He was actually talking about his literal father. that's how close the Civil War was to the Revolution. There were still people alive from that early generation.
Wow,
our fathers created a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
Fabulous. Andy Masick is with us.
We're still struggling with that today.
Yes, to a more perfect union, Andy, right?
Yeah.
What a great turn of phrase that is.
Isn't it?
A more perfect union. And you know that test that we were talking about, the citizenship test? There's a phrase that we see on our money and we see on the Great Seal of the United States. It's e pluribus unum.
Out of many one.
Out of many one. And that's what they meant by a more perfect union. They had created a union of states right after the Revolution, and they called it the Confederation, the Articles of the Confederation. This is before the U.S. Constitution was adopted. And they said, what we need, we've got a union. It's kind of working, but all the states are kind of, well, it's like herding cats. They're all gone in different directions, and we can't get anything done. We need a more perfect union, one that will allow us to work in concert. And that's how this e pluribus unum, from many, one.
Fabulous. Andy Masick is with us. Andy is the president, the CEO of the Senator John Hines History Center in the Strip District. If you've not been, or if you've been in a long time, now's a good time, because I'm telling you, the civic season and the American Democracy Exhibition is first rate. So, Andy, you know, you're giving us really a great overview of the early birthing of America. I'm really interested, you know, as, you know, sort of the written teaching along with the visual teaching as well. Go back for a second, because you really piqued my interest. You've got on display from loan from the Smithsonian George Washington's writing desk. Please describe what that looks like.
You know, it's not very big. It's you know, just a little bit bigger than a kid's lunchbox.
Really?
But it folds out. It's made of walnut, and it folds out, and it's got this green felt on it, and there's ink stains on it, and there's chips and dings on it, because George Washington had this in his saddlebags during the American Revolution. And when he needed to write orders or a letter, he would pull this thing out, and with, quill, a feathered quill and a bottle of ink, he scribbled these orders and things on this very lap desk. So it's one of those things that, you know, your heart skips a beat when you see this and imagine that George Washington, who really kept it together during the Revolution when no one thought that this band of Americans, these rebels in the the colonies, could defeat the most powerful army and navy in the world, but somehow they kept it together long enough to win that war and, give us a jump start on freedom that has made the United States the envy of the world.
Fabulous. And so, Andy, you're seeing then the original American laptop.
Yeah, the original laptop. That's a good way of putting it. This one doesn't plug in. But if you want to plug into history, come to the History Center and go online and take a look at the History Center's website at HeinzHistoryCenter.org or get the app Citizen Y-O-U. Or on the 4th of July, come on down to Fort Pitt and grab a hold of that 36-foot flag that flies over the blockhouse. You know, the blockhouse is the oldest building in Pittsburgh, 1764, and it's guarded by the Daughters of the American Revolution, the Fort Pitt Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. And these ladies, since the 1890s, have been protecting this stone building that was an outbuilding of Fort Pitt, built in 1764. And if you come down at 1 o'clock on the 4th of July, you can hold on to that 36-foot flag and you can watch the red ensign, the British red ensign, come down. And then we'll hook on this 36-foot flag. And it takes about 40 people to keep it from blowing away. And we feed it up that pole. And when it catches the breeze, the hair on the back of your neck stands up for a minute as you see those stars, those 13 stars and those 13 stripes wafting in the breeze high over the blockhouse, high over Point State Park. And it makes you proud to be an American.
Isn't that good? Fabulous. Andy Masick with us from the Heinz History Center. Last question for you. We only have a couple minutes left, but I did see on here that there's going to be included in this a March on Washington banner carried by Pitt students on August 28th, 1963. You have to tell us about this.
Yeah, that's one of the things on loan from the Smithsonian Institution. And, we're an affiliate of the Smithsonian, so we get the real stuff. But this banner, it's a gigantic thing, 12 feet long, and it was featured in a photograph that was front page news in 1963 during the Civil Rights Movement. The Pitt students rallied, and they went to Washington. They carried this gigantic banner. And remember, it was in July of 1964 that the Civil Rights Act was enacted that ensured freedoms that many of us Americans enjoy today. And it was Pitt students, along with many other students from around the country, who converged on Washington and marched for civil rights. So that's just another thing for us to recognize during the civic season here in Pittsburgh.
Wow. Very nice. Andy, it's always a great pleasure. Obviously, the History Center is wide open. Your hours of operation, which you are talking about, including holidays as well, it's a great place for the family to visit.
Hey, and on June 28th, the masks are off. This week, we're still wearing masks, according to the governor's orders. But on June 28th, the masks are off. So for the 4th of July, you can come down, breathe easy, and, well, learn some history.
Fabulous. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.